Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to the Andy Finn Show,
the smooth talk of the town.
Cool. We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and today is the 21st of April. And it was on this day, in 1959, that the largest fish ever hooked on a rod and reel was caught. And I did not know this. It was a white shark, 16 feet long, almost 17 feet, and it weighed over 2,600 pounds. It's hard to believe the largest fish ever caught was caught way back in 59, but that's the way it is. It's also the day the Spanish-American War began, and if you're a history buff of any sort, you know what year that was. 1898. Also, the fighter ace Baron von Richthofen was shot down and killed in World War I on this date in 1918. Of course, he was the Red Baron, made famous by Snoopy, I think it was. And birthdays. It's Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth's birthday today. She is old. It's Anthony Quinn's birthday. And it's the birthday of John Muir, M-U-I-R. And I'm wondering if you know that name. There's a place called Muir Woods and Muir Woods National Monument in California. And basically, he was a conservationist who was influential in the creation of the U.S. park system and in the whole principle of conservation of forests. And they named Muir Woods after him. And Muir Woods, if you get out to San Francisco and you want to see giant sequoia trees, I don't think it's redwoods, I think it's sequoias there, you're only 30 minutes north of San Francisco, and you can go to Muir Woods Park and walk a very short distance, and you're among the giant sequoias. It's the closest one to a major city that I know of in the United States, and it's well worth doing when you're in San Francisco. Also, on this day in 1961, the Beatles made their debut, their first performance at the Cavern Club in Liverpool, England. And the rest is his story. Oh, no, that's Michael Jackson. In any case, let's move on and talk a little bit more about this whole mess with the campaign. So I read the Bel Air stuff after what's his name? John McCain had started in on this. Now, you notice from what I covered that when I read Ayer's blog, it was that Sean Hannity had McCain on and told him about Bel Air. So what does McCain do when he's on Stephanopoulos on Sunday? He starts giving this uninformed opinion. And so I'm used to McCain being smarter than that. You know, I like McCain in general. I donated $100 to John McCain in 1999, and if the Republicans had been smart enough to nominate him then, he would have beat Al Gore handily to be president. I think McCain's time is past. I don't think he can beat a Democrat this year. I think the Republican brand has been beaten into the ground by 8 years of Bush and Cheney and the war and the economy. And for me personally, well, I wouldn't rule John McCain out the way I would have a Rudolph Giuliani. There's no way I could have voted for somebody like Giuliani for president. I don't think McCain would make a bad president. He still doesn't seem to get that Iraq was a mistake. You know, we're 4,000 human lives of our lives, 30,000 Iraqi lives, a couple of million displaced people, hardship all over the place, instability in the Middle East, and all kinds of problems, and $1 trillion and counting, and he says he would do it again? What's wrong with this picture? I understand that Bush and Cheney don't get it and why they have to cling to their decision. But McCain is an honest politician in general, the most honest of my generation. If he believed that it was a mistake, he'd have come out and said so by now. So he doesn't get that it was a mistake to go into Iraq. And that's a huge problem for me. So don't know what else to say about that except that We'll have to deal with that when we come to it. In any case, let's go on and let's let McCain continue.
And then the worst thing of all that I think really indicates Senator Obama's attitude is he had the incredible statement that he compared Mr. Ayers, an unrepentant terrorist, with Senator Tom Coburn. Senator Coburn, a physician who goes to Oklahoma on the weekends and brings babies into life. Comparing those two, I mean, that's an attitude, frankly, that certainly isn't in keeping with the overall attitude.
Senator Obama.
Okay, before Stephanopoulos pushes back just a little bit on McCain, let me stop there. So here's what Obama did. He did not compare heirs to Colburn. So in case you are unaware of this, Senator Tom Colburn from Oklahoma is one of the most conservative, if not the most conservative, member of the U.S. Senate. He said at one point that he would like to see the death penalty for people who perform abortions. Okay, now that's interesting since abortion's legal in this country, but he'd like to get all that changed, of course. And of course, that's the sticking point on abortion. Are you, if you criminalize it, what are you going to do? Are you going to charge women that have abortions? Are you going to charge the doctors that perform them? What about doctors that just do a D&C in the very earliest months of pregnancy? Which is how rich women get very early abortions, typically. I don't mean rich, middle-class women. So it's hard to have much affection for Tom Colburn if you're a moderate or a progressive. But McCain is saying he drew a direct comparison. No, what Obama said was, look, this is guilt by association. I sat on a board, a housing board or something, for 3 years back in the 90s, with heirs, and he appeared at one of my rallies kicking off my campaign. But that doesn't mean I support his views. It's, you know, I also know a lot, I know a lot of people that whose views I disagree with. Senator Tom Colburn wants to execute doctors who perform abortions. But am I supposed to renounce him? I disagree with him, but that doesn't mean I can't know him. So that was the context in which it was said, and McCain jumps on it. Of course, he's speaking to the conservative base, I assume, when he mentions Colburn. Let's let Stephanopoulos push back a little, and McCain continues with this analogy about Colburn.
Well, and it's very insulting to a great man, a great doctor, a great humanitarian, to compare him with a guy who says, after 2001, I wish we had bombed more.
Okay, so let me stop there, and this notion that Tom Colburn is a great man, a great humanitarian, I'd have to say that if you were to put a scales together and look at the, quote, good, the difference that Tom Colburn's trying to make in the world, and I accept as a fact that he wants to make a difference and be a positive force in the world, so does Bill Ayers. He's been an educator for most of the last 40 years. He works in a variety of neighborhood kinds of projects. He's not out trying to make a killing, which he could with his intellect. He's trying to do good and help people in their lives. So I would say they're both probably equally great Americans. But of course, John McCain wouldn't see it that way because this information was spoon-fed to him from Sean Hannity.
I had a reconciliation with the anti-war movement. One of the great experiences of my life was to get to know and love David Ifshin. I had a reconciliation with the Vietnamese when we normalized relations. But how can you countenance someone who was engaged in bombings which could have or did kill innocent people?
Well, now, what's interesting about that, the left-wing blogs have picked up on that line. How could you countenance someone who was engaged in bombings that could have or did kill innocent people? Let's not forget, and again, I'm not going to take away from John McCain's service, but let's not forget that he was a fighter pilot. He was he dropped bombs over Vietnam, as far as I know. And somebody got taken to task recently for making the comment. I think it was a Democratic senator, said that McCain dropped bombs from 35,000 feet and never saw the people that he killed. I don't know how many bombs he dropped and how many people died. And I don't say that he wasn't affected by that. But it's interesting that he happened to draw that exact analogy just now to say that he can't countenance people who plant bombs perhaps kill innocent people. Our bombings probably kill innocent people too. But we were at war, so I'm not going to pull it. I'm not going to try and swift boat John McCain. I do think he's a war hero. Certainly 5.5 years in the Hanoi Hilton earns him the respect of every American. But let's let McCain continue down this path.
Thomas says he was 8 years old when that was happening.
But he became friends with him and spent time with him while the guy was unrepentant over his activities as a member of a terrorist organization, the Weatherman. And then to compare him with Dr. Tom Colburn, who spends so much of his life bringing babies into this world, that in my view is really borders on outrage.
He also pointed out that he and Mr. Ayers have a very loose relationship. They live in the same neighborhood. There was an organizing meeting many, many years ago, he says, in his house, and he says, frankly, I don't agree with these comments that Mr. Ayers made.
Doesn't agree with them. Does he condemn them? Would he condemn someone who says that they're unrepentant and wish that they had bombed more? And compare them to a doctor, one of the great humanitarian, and in my view, one of the greatest spokesperson for the rights of the unborn in America.
So clearly he's playing to the base there, but this idea that he keeps mentioning Tom Colburn as a great humanitarian is just amazing to me. But he's back to claiming that Obama must distance himself from Ayers, even though he served on a housing board, I think it was, with him for 3 years in the early 90s, and the guy appeared at one of McCain's campaign kickoff rallies, I believe, in the early 90s. So what's interesting is now Stephanopoulos says, well, let's talk about this, these associations. Basically, it's not enough that Obama distanced himself from the remarks and said he doesn't agree. McCain wants him to condemn them. Well, let's see what McCain will do when it comes to Reverend Hagee.
You say he should condemn these comments.
Sure.
A lot of Senator Obama's allies and others say that you should condemn the comments of Reverend John Hagee, an evangelical pastor.
Oh, I do. And I did. I said that any comments that he made about the Catholic Church, I strongly condemn.
Yet you solicited and accepted his endorsement.
Okay, so to get back to Reverend Hagee, if you're unfamiliar with this, Reverend Hagee is a conservative firebrand who, first of all, has no use for the Catholic Church, and so has really dismissed it and denounced it a number of times. And so I'm surprised that McCain hasn't distanced himself from Hagee. McCain actively sought his endorsement, unlike Obama, who didn't seek anything from Ayers, though he might have been in the 90s, I guess, or early 90s. But certainly not this time around. So we're going back 15 years to tar Obama with Ayers. It was last fall or early this year that McCain appeared with Hagee and accepted his endorsement, which he pursued. Now, the other thing to know about Hagee is that he is one of the strongest supporters of Israel among Christians in America. But you need to know the context for this. It isn't that he just wants to protect Israel. A lot of the belief about the U.S. support for Israel in the evangelical world comes from the belief that Israel must rebuild the Second Temple on the Temple Mount before Jesus can return and bring us to the Second Coming, where, of course, we get Armageddon. And so, basically, support for Israel, it's couched as support for Israel, is a desire to see Israel dominate. The Dome of the Rock is the third holiest shrine of Islam. And for that to be torn down so Israel can build a temple on that mountain and rebuild the second temple, which was destroyed in 70 BC, I think it was, 49 BC, I get these dates confused. That is a peck of trouble, because what we're saying is not we support Israel and we want Israelis to live a long, fruitful life. What people are saying is want Israel to dominate so they can bring about the second coming of Christ, which will mean the annihilation of all Jews and a lot of other people, in fact, everyone, in the second coming. And these guys like Hagee preach that the second coming is not far off. So that's the kind of person that John McCain sought the endorsement of and accepted and does not distance himself from. He finds fault with his remarks, some of them, but not the overall premise. Of course, some of this is hidden in code, too. So let's let McCain continue, because he really has like two or three different ways of saying this, which is weird, but that's what he does. He basically says, oh, I've condemned Hagee, but yes, I sought his endorsement.
Yes, indeed I did. And I condemned the comments that he made concerning the Catholic Church.
But you're going to hold on to his endorsement. Your own campaign acknowledged that you should have done a better job of vetting Pastor Hagee.
Oh, sure.
So was it a mistake to solicit and accept his endorsement?
Oh, probably. Sure. But the...
Okay, so McCain says, my own campaign said it was a mistake to solicit it. Was it? Yes, probably it was a mistake to solicit his endorsement, but he's still accepting the endorsement. He's holding on to it. So none of this is making a lot of sense, is it, folks? This is why McCain's going to have a little bit of problem when the microscope scope is turned back onto him. Right now, it's on Obama and Clinton in advance of the Pennsylvania primary and until this Democratic race is settled. But it's going to turn back on McCain, and answers like this aren't going to cut it. This is just not too muddled. Yes, he accepts, he sought the endorsement. He's keeping it, even though he's distanced himself from some of the remarks. And then it's probably a mistake that he sought it. It's just all pretty weird. Let's let him finish.
I admire and respect Dr. Hagee's leadership of his church. I admire and appreciate his advocacy for the state of Israel, the independence and freedom of the state of Israel. I condemn remarks that are made that has anything to do, which is condemning of the Catholic Church. But
so you don't want his endorsement?
Many things. I'm glad to have his endorsement. I condemn remarks that are anyway viewed as anti anything.
Let's talk.
Thanks for asking.
What I love about that is he condemns the remarks that are construed as anti anything. Well, think about that. Anti anything. That suggests that he's pro-everything. I mean, it's a meaningless statement. So McCain's going to have to clarify this at some point. But then the question becomes, why doesn't the same standard apply to Obama, right? Obama has distanced himself from the remarks that Ayers made, for starters, but even from the negative remarks that Jeremiah Wright made, okay? And yet McCain is saying that, well, he hasn't done enough to distance himself from Ayers. Hey, there's no evidence he's had a relationship with Ayers in most of the last 15 years. He hasn't sought his endorsement. He hasn't gotten Ayers' endorsement during his presidential run. And yet McCain did that with Hagee. So if that's the standard by which you're going to judge people, then the right wing is going to have to say, okay, so that's what Obama's done with Reverend Wright, too. Of course, that's not how it'll go down, but it's just interesting to pay attention to it. So anyway, that's the piece on that. Let me go on to another clip that I think is interesting, which is that in the ABC News, the same ABC News story, Stephanopoulos asked McCain about his temper. Now, the Washington Post did a story on McCain's temper on Sunday morning, and basically it's a pretty long piece documenting the many, many times over the last few years, over the last 15 to 25 years, that McCain has lost his temper and gotten very hot under the collar and called people names or whatever it was. So this is how Stephanopoulos quizzed him about the name issue in the interview on ABC News Sunday yesterday.
Let's begin with the headlines this morning. Uh-huh. Washington Post this morning, huge front page story. John McCain, a question of temperament. They talked to a lot of your former colleagues and associates about your temper. Mm. Many say it's not a problem anymore. Others say you've got it under control. But look at what a former colleague of yours, Senator Bob Smith of New Hampshire, said. He said John McCain's temper would place this country at risk in international affairs and the world perhaps in danger. In my mind, it should disqualify him. A Republican, you served with him.
Yeah, I served with him and had significant differences on several issues. But the point is, look, majority of those stories, 15, 20, 25 years ago, the point is that I feel passionately about issues. I work across the aisle. I've been successful in getting legislation done. But the important thing is that do I get angry from time to time when I'm investigating Mr. Abramoff and find out they ripped off Indian tribes, when I see bridges to nowhere? And you know what? The American people are angry too. They want change. They want action. And they're fed up and they're angry with the way things have been going.
But you can see.
You know, I'm going to stop Stephanopoulos there. But that idea that I'm angry and the American people are angry, that sounds a lot like Obama saying that, the people are bitter. What's interesting about this article, and by the way, I am not here trying to paint McCain as somehow unfit because of his temper. Frankly, when I first heard about this story and heard a couple of the incidents, I thought, you know, that this is much ado about nothing. He's fiery. You don't get far in politics unless you can get excited about things occasionally. Bill Clinton famously has a bit of a temper. I figured it's not anything that disqualifies him. I was unaware of a couple of these stories, though, so I'm just going to summarize them. The thing that's most worrisome is there's a little bit of vindictiveness in this stuff. Not just that he argues issues. Like the examples he used there is he gets upset at wasteful spending, right? Well, that's good. But basically, he's had situations where he got in a spat with a staffer, and then he tried to keep the staffer from being hired for her next job. You know, there's this vindictiveness about that that really concerns me with McCain. So that bothers me more than his temper, because that's the kind of thing, even if it was, some of it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, that's not a very mature man. He's 70 now. That means when he was in his, when he was 50, he was a hothead, and he's saying he isn't anymore. Well, I'm sorry, but you should learn before you're 50 to treat people with respect. So that's a bit of a problem for me. And let me go to the last clip I think I'm going to cover today, which is that in the debate that ABC held last Wednesday, Charlie Gibson and George Stephanopoulos took a lot of heat for their way they conducted themselves in the debate. They spent the first 40 minutes basically attacking Obama over trivial things like, why don't you wear a flag lapel pin? And what about Bill Ayers, as we've discussed, and all this stuff that is just nonsense and not worthy of the, of, you know, true journalists. But there's another little piece here that's worth pointing out, and that is that Charlie Gibson asked a question about the economy. Finally, they asked questions about the economy. And this one came up around the issue of the capital gains tax. And he misstates the fact. He makes the claim, which conservatives have made multiple times. I know some conservative economists, and they maintain with a straight face that a decrease in the capital gains tax increases capital gains revenue. In fact, the studies show, and you can go out and look these up. I'm not going to cite them here, but it's pretty well cited. Actually, I might cite them here before we're done. But it's pretty well established that, in fact, you get a very short-term increase when you change the law because people try and squeeze in under the law, but you know, before the law takes effect or expires. But, in fact, it's not a serious shift. It's about the same amount of revenue in each case. And it's pretty well established that when you when you cut marginal tax rates, about 50% of those cuts come back to the Treasury in the form of increased taxes, right? Not the what the Republicans have claimed since the era of Reagan for supply-side economics, this notion that if you cut taxes, you actually get more money to the Treasury, which, of course, is counterintuitive. John Anderson was asked about that in the 1980 debates, and they said, well, how do you cut taxes, increase the military budget, and balance the budget? And he says, you do it with mirrors. That's what Reagan did. That's what Bush did. And in fact, like I say, the standards show that what happens is you get 50% of it back, tax cuts back and increased revenue if you cut marginal tax rates, that is income tax. And if you cut capital gains, you only get 25% of it back. But here goes Charlie Gibson making the opposite claim to Obama. And I'm surprised Obama wasn't armed with this information, but he may not be as qualified as I am to be president.
Senator Obama, you both have now just taken this pledge on people under $250,000 and $250,000?
Well, it depends on how you calculate it, but it would be between $200,000 and $250,000.
All right. You have, however, said you would favor an increase in the capital gains tax. As a matter of fact, you said on CNBC, and I quote, I certainly would not go above what existed under Bill Clinton, which was 28%. It's now 15%. That's almost a doubling if you went to 28%. But actually, Bill Clinton in 1997 signed legislation that dropped the capital gains tax to 20%.
Right.
And George Bush has taken it down to 15%. And in each instance, when the rate dropped, revenues from the tax increased. The government took in more money.
Okay, so I'm going to stop it there. That's simply not true, and somebody should have called Gibson on it. And as a journalist, he should know better. But that's the way it is. In any case, we will be back next week with another edition of the Andy Finn Show on WEBR Radio. Until then, you can read my blogs and listen to previous shows at andyfinn.us. Until then, remember to do it and don't doubt it. And we'll see you next week.